We talk from time to time with State Senator Phil Pavlov. You could do the same thing. You can always pick up your phone and call or send an email or tweet or Facebook or however you want to get in touch with him. Or you could stop by in Marysville tomorrow and see the senator along with State Representative Dan Lowers. But we've got Phil on the line with us this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on tomorrow and what's been going on in Lansing. Senator, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Everything is good from my standpoint. Looking forward to Friday's town hall that Mayor Damon's putting together for us.
Yeah, Mayor Damon in Marysville, I thought it'd be a good idea for you and Dan Lowers to spend some time with constituents. Tell us what the plan is for tomorrow.
Well, I think, you know, what Dan Lauer and myself have done, and I've been doing this for 13 years now, is we organize our Mondays and Fridays across the district to be open for conversation for anybody that wants to come in. Never an appointment necessary. And we do it from, in my case, from New Baltimore all the way up to Port Austin. But Mayor Damon reached out to us about a month ago and said, hey, would you participate if I put something together? And from my perspective, I said, absolutely. Anybody who's willing to do the work to get people in a room for us to share, Lansing updates with, I'm all about that. And, you know, so Dan's pretty civic-minded there in Marysville, and this is the result.
You mentioned New Baltimore to Port Austin. I don't know if everybody realizes how big the Senate district is. It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And trying to cover it on Mondays and Fridays with all the other obligations that we have are difficult. So from a discipline standpoint, we always, in the first of the month, put a newsletter out electronically, and we fill those dates up with locations. And, you know, people call the office, and sometimes they want to talk to me directly, but if we're in committee or in session, it makes it difficult. So the next place is, hey, here's where Phil's going to be. He's looking forward to meeting up with you. And it's just a way to stay in touch. And, you know, I've always said that if I'm going to ask for someone's vote, I'm going to also explain the votes that I take. And, you know, and I know nationally you're starting to hear a lot of backlash about some of the some of the national figures who aren't necessarily doing the town halls. And, you know, there's an angry electorate out there. And, you know, the best way to deal with that is, to me, has always been, you know, one-on-one.
What are you hearing most from constituents these days, Phil? Is there any one issue that people in your district are concerned about?
I think car insurance and the cost of of keeping our cars on the road is really hitting I don't like the term fever pitch, but it is getting close because, you know, Michigan leads the country in automobile premium rates. And, that affects everybody from the time that you're 16 years old behind the wheel until the time that you're not driving anymore. So, and it lands on the pocketbook. These are clearly pocketbook issues. And, you know, we've been talking about tax cuts in Michigan and other reforms, but, you know, you're looking at a financial product that you have to drive. And some of these folks are seeing, you know, 15% premium increases year on year, and it's getting hard to afford.
You mentioned reform. Pension reform is also an issue that you've been working on. That is not an easy issue, is it?
No, it's not. And, but the impacts are significant. Just look at what's happening in local municipalities. When you have a city like Detroit that goes bankrupt, General Motors and Chrysler, this is about legacy costs. And it's about keeping promises and finding that balance between keeping a deal you might have made 45 or 50 years ago in today's economics is challenging. But you know, for people that are concerned about it, if you do have a pension from government, it is constitutionally guaranteed. You will receive that pension. Unfortunately, there's a healthcare component to it. And I think everybody in this country realizes what's happening with healthcare. But, you know, fortunately, we're living much longer. We're enjoying more activity later in life. And there's a cost for that, and I'm not convinced government did a really good job of planning for that cost, because how would you know?
Right, well, exactly. I mean, it was, you can't necessarily go back and point the finger at people 40, 50 years ago, because you're right, it was not expected or even anticipated at that time. I know that our city manager in Port Huron, James Freed, has talked about essentially refinancing the pension program. So everybody still gets their pension, but it eases the pressure on municipalities. Is that something that the state government can and is willing to help with?
Well, I think we've done some of that already, but here's the thing to remember about refinancing the pension debt is you're essentially asking the taxpayers to pay for it a third and fourth time. But, you know, there are going to have to be accommodations made to the amortization of these massive amounts of debt. And just in the system that I'm working on right now, we've accumulated $2 billion worth of new additional debt just in the last year on our teacher pension system. And, you know, there's only so many resources coming in, and that's nearly, you know, that's more than half of the entire state budget. So when you put it in the context, James Freed and other municipal leaders are working hard and trying to put as much imagination behind a difficult problem. And, you know, it's real, and it's a difficult conversation to have with retirees. So, you know, re-amortizing, you know, changing some values in place are all, you know, issues to deal with the problem going forward. But getting new employees into a defined contribution system is the beginning of the end of that additional liability. So it's difficult. There's no question about it. And people get very, very emotional when you start talking about this topic, but rightfully so, I think.
How's the state budget process going? Is it to your satisfaction at this point?
So far, yeah. We're probably 2 weeks away from having a final agreement. And, you know, I've been able to pour some more money into the classrooms. You know, schools around the state that are in the very, you know, the poverty-stricken areas for where students are essentially at risk. There's some additional funds going there. House and Senate, you know, so far are in pretty much agreement with things. And all we're waiting for now, Paul, is 3 times a year we do a revenue estimating conference, and that tells us, you know, how much money do we get in from the April 15th, you know, tax return day. And then that sets our spending plan. So we look at that number, we apply it to the budgets that we have. If we have to make adjustments in either direction, we can do that in late May. And the hope is this will be the 7th budget Governor Snyder signs in advance of like 4 months of the actual date. So we want to keep that streak going as long as we can, because it gives predictability to schools and municipalities too.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, you and Dan Lowers will be having a town hall. Is this at the City Hall in Marysville, is that right?
Yeah, City Hall in Marysville, and anybody's welcome to come in and bring your questions, and we'll do the best to answer them. And if we can't get the answer at that meeting, we will have a follow-up staff member come in and help you with your issue.
All right, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Marysville. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Senator. Always appreciate it.
Well, thanks for letting your listeners be aware of the event. We appreciate that.
You bet it. Take care of it. We'll see you. Bye-bye.